that currently you have this precious human life, that you have such a good life, that you have whatever you need to maintain an existence, and that you have an opportunity to practice is really of incredibly great merit. And so don't waste this merit of yours. Continue accumulating merit. In reality, all of these enjoyments that we are experiencing, that we have food to eat, a place to stay, that we are sleeping well, all of these enjoyments of the five senses, what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, in reality, are all consuming our positive merit. And if we want to consume our positive merit, of course we can. In addition, we must understand that we must continue to accumulate merit, to continue engaging in virtuous activities. Every day that we have life, use it to recite mantras, to generate positive merit, meditate, practice compassion, bodhicitta. We must continuously accumulate and increase our positive merit. In this way, then what we will be doing is accumulating merit, not just consuming merit. If we don't continue accumulating merit and we just consume our positive merit that we've accumulated before, then what happens later in life? Suddenly we have these problems, maybe we have some serious illnesses. Why has this happened? Because it's an expression of the fact that our positive merit has suddenly been decreased, or gradually decreased. For instance, we have this illness, that ailment, this is not going smoothly, that's a problem. In reality, this is just showing us, it's a reflection that our merit is insufficient. This shows us that our merit has been consumed, and it is expressed in how things are happening within our life. Maybe it happens at work, maybe it manifests physically. Something might happen and we feel like we can't carry on with life anymore. What is this showing us is that we have been using up our merit, haven't understood to accumulate merit. That we have this human life is a result of past positive merit. However, we must continue to do positive deeds, engage in virtuous activities, accumulate merit, meditate, repent, engage in animal liberation, support them, recite mantras, that we purify all this negative karma in our life, and at the same time, that we are able to accumulate even better positive merit. If we are reciting mantras and we are meditating, what is this doing? It is accumulating non-mundane, supramundane, spiritual merit. And this merit we can really accumulate quickly, and it brings us good fortune, brings us good health. And those people who have this spiritual merit, generally it comes from those who are practitioners. Wealth, fame, status, this really comes from the merit of mundane concerns. Mundane concerns have mundane merit. Supramundane concerns have supramundane merit. Mundane merit can't generate supramundane merit. However, supramundane merit can generate mundane merit. And if we increase our supramundane merit, our spiritual merit, naturally our mundane merit will also increase. With respect to our current life, our current situation, we should engage in accumulating merit. And every day use it as an opportunity to accumulate merit and to practice, irrespective if what is happening is favorable or unfavorable. If everything is going well today, let me use today to practice. If things are not going well today and I'm not in a good mood, let me use today to practice. And in the process of practicing, what will happen is all of these anxieties, worries, difficulties will gradually be reduced. And at the same time, what will happen, we will feel more fortunate, life will be better. And this is the appearance, the manifestation that appears through the result of our practice. All of this we may now know, we understand, we've learnt it. However, to really apply it within our lives, we should go and find our Vajra Guru and request for the Dharma in order to be able to do this. And from our Guru, we can learn step-by-step procedures, what is the Dharma to practice, and then we can go and then apply this practice. And the more that we are in touch with this highest energy, the quicker our state is going to improve. Normally, if we've never been in touch with this highest energy, then our level is very low and we're not able to rise above this. However, when we in touch with the highest energy, very quickly, very easily, this energy can improve. Why is it that we say that we can attain Buddhahood in this lifetime, that we can attain liberation in this lifetime, that we may know Rigpa in this lifetime? Because everybody, every single sentient being inherently has this Buddha nature. And then when they meet another being externally who has this really great highest state of energy very quickly, it can help them to improve and to increase this level of theirs. And that is why it's very important that we go and find a benevolent or enlightened guru. Yes, every one of us has this Buddha nature, this highest level of energy. However, we need to have the arising causes to enable us to be able to elevate the state of mind of ours, this energy of ours. And what are the arising causes that will help us or enable us to be able to do this are that of enlightened gurus. And then through meeting this enlightened guru, Bodhisattva, what we can do is we can improve the level of our mind, layer by layer, level by level, what we call different states of realization. This is in terms of our compassion, our faith, our wisdom, our bodhicitta. And it provides those arising causes, just like we have in opening a flower for the flower to grow. It needs the water, the soil, the oxygen, the sunlight, and in the right amounts. And the same applies to our compassion, our bodhicitta, our belief, our wisdom. And in the same way, they can all be elevated. Elevated through encountering the pure guru, the pure lineage, through our own practice. Receiving the blessing of the guru, and then just like a blossoming flower, we can continuously blossom. And it can happen even quicker. Yes, we all have Rigpa, we have this true nature of mind. However, it's really assisted in opening through knowing our Vajraguru, meeting the Vajraguru, following a pure lineage, through their blessing, their compassion, through their giving us nectar, offering us pith instructions, so that continuously this true nature of mind of ours can open up. And this is done through a process of practice. And we may say it's difficult. Yes, it's difficult. However, if we meet and have the guidance of an enlightened guru, then it's not so difficult. And the more we practice, the easier it becomes. We study, reflect, and practice. And eventually, we get to know our true nature of mind. And our practice is turning inward towards our mind. This practice doesn't come from outside. It's a training of our mind, a training in compassion and wisdom. And why is it that these great masters and some people are able to achieve such great realizations at the time of death in the Bardos, going to the Western Pure Lands of Amitabha? Because there's a mastery of their inner minds. And why is it that some people aren't able to realize this? Because the blessing, the pith instructions, are in the hands of these enlightened gurus within their enlightened state of realization. And then just within a movement or a sentence or one simple teaching, it is possible that we may be able to attain enlightenment or liberation in this very lifetime. This is possible. And this doesn't come from knowledge or intellect. Knowledge and intellect is something that comes from outside. It's just a philosophy. And this is also not our inherent state. The inherent nature is realized through these supreme instructions that we receive from our Vajraguru. It might be that when afflictions arise, or this karma manifests, and all of this knowledge and intellect might not be useful to us, we might not be able to apply it. However, through just one instruction, it is possible that we will be able to face this problem, that we will be able to cut through the affliction. Really, practice is an inner mastery. It is not something that is achieved externally. We might have a lot of intelligence and knowledge and learning and philosophy. However, when our attachment aversion and ignorance arises, it might be that we aren't able to control this or cut through this at all using this knowledge or this intellect. And why? Because we're applying this knowledge, this intellect. We're not applying a state of inner mental mastery. Practice relies on our realization. It doesn't depend on our intellect.